Today's reading is from the 21st chapter of John, verses 9 through 19. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the nets ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you would not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to them, "Follow me." The word of the Lord.
So what a wonderful day. I am so blessed to have my daughter baptized on this historic Sunday. And in this month, that is Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. And I think I have a great story to tell her about her baptism now. The story I may repeat so many times until she gets so tired of it. Yes. But I will surely tell her that day we celebrated not only your baptism, but also the ending of the 52-year-old anti-LGBTQ stance of the church. And it was a really great day, even though because of that great news, your father's sermon about famine and hunger became a little awkward for that Sunday. Anyway, on a Sunday like this, the good news of love prevails, and the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, the two ways that God makes this world sacred and inclusive, these shall preach. And I know my sermon is not that important. But if you are still interested, please pray with me now. Let us pray. Let the word of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Give us this day our daily hunger. How strange it sounds. The familiar sentence in the prayer of Jesus sounds very different when the word hunger takes the place of bread. Give us this day our daily hunger. Actually, this is the title of an article by Dr. Byung-Moo An, who was one of the founders of Minjung theology, which is Korean liberation theology. Here, the word Minjung in Korean simply means the poor, the marginalized, and the oppressed. Dr. An opens the article with two questions. Have you ever been seriously hungry? Have you ever been desperate to get your daily bread? And it says, if you haven't, you'd better pray for daily hunger than bread, so that you may participate in others' suffering at least in part. And he concludes his article with the prayer. Give us this day our daily hunger. Let others' hunger be my hunger, so that I may be liberated from a stomach full of comfort in order to live truly in solidarity with those who pray for their daily bread today. Yes, this prayer surely is inspiring, but as much as I appreciate this compassionate spirit, there's one burning question I cannot just let go of. That is, why? Why did God create the world in this way that some have to pray for their daily bread while others need to pray for daily hunger? The inequality in the world is just so stark, and needless to say, climate change makes it worse than ever. While in some parts of the world, people die from famine and lack of clean water, in other parts of the world, people find ways to eat less and eat healthier. It looks like God doesn't care that much about equality. When I see my daughter, Sage, I become more certain about this. She is the only child of her parents who are also the only children of their parents. And my wife and I had her 16 years after we got married. So you can imagine how much love and attention she is receiving in her family. Yes. But even at this time, even at this very moment in Gaza, babies and children are starving and losing their parents and families. We don't even have to look at other places. Yesterday, our open door ministry for the unhoused served over 200 guests again. Why? Why does the world have to be this way? I don't believe God may give us a logical answer that we can fully understand, but for the matter of inequality, I do believe God certainly reveals the heart of God to us through Jesus. On the cover of the bulletin today, you can find the artwork called The Christ of the Breadlines. It is a woodcut piece by Fritz Eilenberg, and he made this when he worked with Dorothy Day, who dedicated her life to the poor in New York City. In the picture, Jesus is standing in line for food and quietly waiting for his turn. He is wrapped in rags. He is entirely in shadow. He looks weak and hungry. I have a print of this picture in my office. And whenever I see the vulnerable Jesus there, I am reassured that the God I believe in is neither a capricious almighty who intentionally created the world unequal, nor an arbitrary tyrant who blesses some and curses others. From Jesus in the bread line, I rather find the God whose heart goes out to the hungry, the God who wants to eat and drink with them, with people, with Minjung, and the God who knows what it is to be poor and destitute. Dr. An takes this understanding of God even further and says, indeed, the God who doesn't know our hunger has nothing to do with us. Apart from the matter of daily bread, the true relationship between God and humans is impossible. God who needs to eat is the true God. And God, the God who could have even died of starvation, is the true God. Only such a hungry God can help us. Powerful words, But then, how can this hungry God actually help us? Because of Jesus, we know where God's heart is. But what is God's way to help us? What is God's way to change the world? In today's gospel story, we find one simple way: sharing daily bread. Sharing daily bread. If we move back a little before today's story, just a few days back, Jesus shared daily bread and wine with his disciples at the Last Supper. And in this ordinary way, he gave them his body and blood, the life-giving love, before his death. But after his death, the disciples' faith was overwhelmed by fear. They fled to the Sea of Galilee, where they used to fish for a living. To these disciples, the resurrected Jesus comes. He comes to call them and restore the relationship with them. How? By sharing daily bread again with them. It is in the early morning Jesus makes a charcoal fire to grill fish and bake bread. The disciples have fished all night and are hungry. As they come ashore, they find Jesus and he calls them as if nothing serious happened. Bring some fish you just caught. Come and have breakfast. Jesus calls them again, shares food with them again, and reminds them of his unending love again. Sharing daily bread may sound simple, but in this most mundane way, in this most bodily way, Jesus makes the most sacred link, the Holy Communion that binds the divine and the human together in love. Whenever I hear the words daily bread, I recall a story I heard from Bishop Allen Shin. He is a Korean-American bishop of the Episcopal Church serving in the Diocese of New York. The story is about his mission in Cuba. He didn't specify the date, but I guess it was after the Soviet Union was dissolved in 1991, when the Cuban economy seriously went down because they lost their biggest economic supporter. Bishop Allen Shin said, while he was in Cuba, there was a serious cutback on food rationing, and people didn't have much to eat. One day he visited a school and a birthday party was going on for one of the children. A teacher brought a cake he baked, and the birthday boy and all the children shared the cake together, and of course they were so happy. The cake looked just humble, nothing special. But later he was told that to bake that cake, each of the children in that class had to save their daily ration of flour. And the teacher had to save many days' rations of sugar and eggs. Bishop Shin said, at that moment, he realized sharing that cake was nothing less than Holy Communion. Today, we live in a world where climate crisis disproportionately affects the poor. We often criticize the way this world is, and we argue the way it should be. We are frustrated to see the inequality getting worse and worse, and we ask why. But again, the truth is we may never be able to find a satisfying theological answer. So perhaps, in times like this, what we need is a simple focus. A focus on what we surely know, what we already know. And what we know from Jesus is the heart and the way of our hungry God. And now is the time we may follow this God's heart to be with the hungry and to be hungry, praying, give us this day our daily hunger. Now is the time we may follow God's way to share daily bread, listening to the voice of Jesus in today's gospel story, feed my sheep. Sharing daily bread is simple yet sacred, because when people are hungry, God is hungry with them. And when they are fed, God is fed through them. It is sacred because wherever we break bread together in God's name, there happens the communion rooted in divine love. Through the sacred act of sharing food, sharing daily bread, therefore, open door ministry tables in the courtyard yesterday are not separate from the altar of our sanctuary today. We fed Jesus in the bread line yesterday, and we are fed by his body and blood today. And in this way, by sharing bread, God builds a beloved community with us and changes the world. So in times like this, let us keep our faith in our hungry God. Let us believe in the one who invites us to the table, feeds us, reminds us of the unending love, and sends us to feed others as if we feed God. Let us follow God's heart and way again from today. Amen.